Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, everybody. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and you're listening to the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome and welcome back, depending on where you're at in this process. If you're just joining me for the first time, this is a philosophy of health podcast and one dedicated to basically turning the idea of diets and quick fix on its head and coming at it from a completely different way, from a place of consideration and thought of truly creating sustainable change in your life. And that's what I do. And I wrote a little manifesto on it. And I have a private practice and I have this podcast. And it's all there to essentially help people take control of their lives. Why the health part of it? Because I believe that the health of the human body is where it all starts. So when I can help that part of you get in control of your health, then all the other benefits come to fruition. And that could be for you, could be weight loss, it could be increased energy, it could be decreased inflammation, it could be a better job, it could be a better relationship. It's really how you want to craft your life. But I believe that the foundation of health and happiness, and I always put both in the same ring, begins with you and how healthy and happy you are, how healthy you are, where it starts, what you feed yourself, how you take care of yourself, how you think about taking care of yourself. In this podcast, I go behind the veil on conventional wisdom, all the things that we're led to believe and all the things we're promised with quick fix and all that kind of stuff. And I call it into question. And I've gotten some really awesome response from people out there, and I appreciate hearing the words, great reviews and things like that. And by the way, it's very helpful if you feel so moved to pop on iTunes and drop me a couple words of what you think about this. On Twitter, if you feel like following me, I tweet now and then at Sid Garza-Hillman. Instagram, same thing. Facebook, Transitioning to Health, transitioningtohealth.net is my private practice if you want to look into that ever. And I am speaking this Saturday at the Plant-Powered Fitness and Health Expo in Berkeley at 10 a.m. I'll be signing books afterwards. So if you feel like coming down, that's great. Go to vegfoodevents.com/health. This podcast is sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort, as the intro said. But Joan and Jeff are kind enough to provide me the tools to continue this little project of mine and a place to do it, and which is cool. I head up their wellness center called the Mendocino Center for Living Well, and actually running a retreat this week. Had some signups, really cool. That's starting tonight and for the next few days, and classes and cooking classes and all sorts of cool stuff. So we'll be doing more of those throughout the year. There's one in April, there's one in July, and there's one in October. I'll put those things up. They're really fun, and this is a place like no other. So yeah, they're sponsoring me, so I have to say that. But I wouldn't be here if it weren't, unless I had to. So anyway, let's get down to business here, because I got some stuff to talk about. I don't know if you guys checked out the last podcast before with Jeff. We talked about meditation. I was really happy I did that, because I've been wanting to talk about meditation. And I thought, well, this is kind of cool, because this is where I got a lot of the information. He's been doing it for years and just really into some cool stuff, just not mainstream kind of stuff, you know, just stuff that's just... well, not mainstream. And that's the stuff I love. It seems like every time I look into something that's mainstream or conventional wisdom and I look a little deeper, it's completely not what I'm about. And that's pretty much happened with everything, food and movement and running and just, you know, everything from, you know, we should be eating high protein to, you know, all the things that were just like, boom, this is what you do. And then you look a little deeper and you're like, oh, okay, well, that's an ad campaign. Anyway, so, and that's why this podcast is free. That's what I'm talking about, and I don't even sell products, huh? So pat myself on the back, tell you that much. So the title of this podcast is Independence Day, and I just want to give a little shout out to, and I hate the term shout out, I can't believe I just used that, Vic Chestnut, one of my favorite songwriters of all time, who died a few years ago, and he's got a beautiful song called Independence Day. If I knew how to do licensing and if I had any money to do that, I probably would have had that song as part of this podcast. I'm taking a sip of my espresso right now. That's what I'm talking about. Mm. God, that's good. And people go, why anybody new is going to be, why is a philosophy of health drinking espresso? What's going on there? I'll tell you why, person, because it's about treating yourself well. And I have created a balance in my life such that I'm as healthy as I want to be. And there's certain things I do out of more pure enjoyment. And coffee is one of those. And I don't do it too much. I found an amount that keeps me okay. There's been times where I've had too much coffee and I back off because I can feel it. And that leads me into kind of where we're going with this. Anyway, Vic Chestnut, Independence Day. Crazy, beautiful song. And tragic story. I met him a few times when I was doing the music thing in the 90s and 2000s, and he and I crossed paths a few times, and it was an honor to meet him, and very sad story. Yeah, he had a rough life. But anyway, if you like authentic, I mean, he's a real deal. There's no doubt about that. Vic Chestnut, you can look him up. Other funny story, and this kind of leads me into the podcast too, so it's not totally out of left field. But I was sitting in front of the local market here. I live in a small town on the Mendocino coast called Mendocino. And I was selling raffle tickets. That's how I like to spend my Saturday for my daughter's school. And so she and I were sitting out there. She's 9. And we're hanging out selling raffle tickets. They do it every year to raise money for the little public school there. And this guy walks up, and he's a guy that used to work. He doesn't listen to this podcast, by the way. Like, never, not even. He'll never listen to it. Don't worry about it. But he comes walking up, and he's got this, like, huge beard. I didn't even recognize him. He looked a little bit like the Unabomber, and I didn't kind of give him the sideways glance. But anyway, he comes up, and he's like, "Hey, Sid." And I was like, "Oh, hey, what's going on, person? I won't mention your name." And he shakes my hand, and then I said, "Do you remember my daughter Luna?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I remember." And he was just—he used to work at the Stanford Inn years ago, and just not—I don't know, nice enough guy, but just kind of not all there. And anyway, so he shakes my hand, shakes Luna's hand, goes on to tell me about what he's doing, et cetera, et cetera. He's been working in this place and that place, et cetera. Like, crazy, you know, whatever. I'm just kind of sitting there, glazed over. Then he says, "You might want to have some hand sanitizer, because I've had the flu really bad." So he knows he's had the flu and knows that he shook my hand and my 9-year-old daughter's hand, and then tells his story, then tells me that we should be sanitizing our hands because we're probably going to get violently ill. So that was nice. I thought that was, what a nice thing to do to a 9-year-old daughter. Now, the good news is I haven't had the flu in 6 years. My daughter's never had the flu. We eat really, really well, and we keep ourselves healthy. And I don't take the flu shot, and I'm not advocating one way or the other. There are certain parts of this culture that should be taking the flu shot. I get it. You've got immune system issues, suppressed immune system. Hey man, I'm not here to advise on a personal level. This is a podcast. Take it what it's worth. I don't take it. I rarely get sick. I get a mild cold maybe once a year. My kids get little mild colds. They're back in business in a day. It starts with the human body. It just does. It's like we, even with vaccines and things, it is reliant upon your immune system to do the business. And what vaccine does is it doesn't kill the flu virus. It just sets up your immune system so that it can deal with it when it comes. But it's still all about your immune system. It is still about your immune system. And this is why this podcast goes so far beyond food, because stress, chronic stress of any kind, weakens the immune system. Chronic stress of any kind weakens the immune system. So for me, I'm a certified nutritionist. And the reason why I changed my practice hugely, profoundly, is because it's not just about food. And I became really developed myself as a health coach because I have to deal with all those issues of stress in terms of balancing for health. Now, what I will do, because I'm responsible, because I'm not trained in one thing and advising on another, like, oh, I don't know, hypothetically, trained in medicine but advising on nutrition when I'm not trained in nutrition, hypothetically. But because I don't, I'm not a psychotherapist. But with my clients, sometimes I will advise. I'll say, hey, you know what? You should probably be talking to somebody. You've got some stuff here, but let's get back to the food and the movement that you're doing and how that balances in your life, and be aware of other things that are causing you stress. If you're having a bad marriage, I'm not going to marriage counsel. I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not going to counsel you on your marriage. But I will say, you might want to look into marriage counseling. You might want to see a professional in that regard. It's like if your car broke down, it wouldn't go, here's what you do. You take the alternator and then you do, I don't even know what an alternator is, okay? But I'm also not going to go to a practitioner that's not trained in one thing and ask him or her about that thing. Just be aware, okay? If you came to me and I said, you know what a great prescription medication is, you should sue me, okay? Because that would be totally irresponsible. I wouldn't do it. It's illegal, first of all, and second of all, totally immoral. Why would I speak to something I'm not trained in? So, sorry for that little tangent, but it comes down to that whole kind of thing, like, you know, to pay attention to the things that you're doing in your life, to look at it, to question. It's okay. It's good. That's what this podcast is here for. We're calling into question these things that we're presented with. Many are economically motivated, and you know, on a very large level. Am I economically motivated? Part of it, sure. I wish everybody listening to this would buy my book and hand it out to friends. But guess what? I'm not making billions of dollars. I don't have a lobby that's going to affect policy change or anything like that in this country. I'm trying to make a living, sure. But it's not my motivator. Okay, it's not my motivator, because I chose to do something that's a choice of something that would make me fulfilled in my life. I'm happy doing this. I love doing this. I love talking about nutrition. I love talking about health. I love teaching classes. I love speaking, like I'm doing this thing this weekend. I can't wait. I love getting in front of a group and just getting into this, because it's super fun. That's why I do it, and would love to make a living do it. So, you know, that's how that is. But with that said, this is relating, because this podcast is called Independence Day. Now, aside from the Vic Chestnut song, this is about independence. And this is about the concept of really what it comes down to is a concept of choice. Okay. I believe that the health of the human species, that you can maintain balance better in your life the more independent you are. So what do I mean by that? Did I tell you how good this espresso is? Freaking amazing. I got a little cocoa there, got a little cinnamon coming through. It's like a good glass of wine. Now, I pull an awesome espresso. So if you guys ever meet me and there's an espresso machine anywhere, you just let me know. There was one time I was in a movie years ago when I used to be a full-time actor, and there was this big truck that had all the craft services, and there was an espresso machine there, and like a really nice one. So of course I'm just like, whoa, I think it was like 2 a.m. I'm like, well, I can't waste this opportunity. And so I was making one, and this producer of the movie comes walking in, and he's like, you know how to work that? And I was like, you're damn right I do. And he's like, can you make one for my wife? And I was just like busting it out. Actor guy, just freaking making a cappuccino in the back of the truck. I've got skills. Independence. Independence is essentially about choice. And what I mean is that if you come at life and you come at your own life, especially from a place of choice, then no matter what decision you make, it is yours. By that, I mean this. If you do what everybody else does because everybody else is doing something, you're not independent. But if you do what everybody else does because you looked at the alternatives and made an educated and thoughtful choice about what's best for you, and that's why you decided to do it, even though everybody else is doing it, you're independent. And that independence is a place of control, and it is a place of health, and it is a place of balance. So that I want to even go deeper with that, because I'm training for another marathon. And I ran one in December and it was great. The process was great. And so I signed up for another one in May. I'm kind of on the fence about whether I should have done that. The one in May is called the Avenue of the Giants. It's up in Humboldt. If anybody's around, come run it. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm looking forward to it. Do I kind of wish on one hand that maybe I didn't sign up for it. Kind of like I'm really enjoying running, but the idea of being in a training plan is kind of like, holy mother, right? I mean, just like the getting up in the morning, I'm putting in some, you know, 50 miles a week now. So what I did is, and this is what kind of inspired me about this podcast, is that I have a training plan, but I thought, you know what? I'm really like, I'm not a professional marathoner. I am a dad. I got three kids. You know, I've said this before. We're working hard. We're full time. Like I don't have time to train. And if I can break 4 hours, great. You know, I almost broke it the first time I did it. I'd like to break four. If I don't, I got to break them. I don't really couldn't care. Like I go to my deathbed and I didn't break 4 hours. I'm not going to be like, why didn't I break 4 hours? But with that said, so what I decided to do was, okay, so I've got this training plan and I used the No Meat Athlete one for the first one. It was good, but it's definitely like a beginner kind of thing. So now I've got this Hansen's training method and I'm like ramping it up. I'm like, okay, cool. But I started to feel like, oh, exhausted. So what I did is I'm really coming at it from a place of balance and health and a big picture kind of place, which is, each day I kind of remind myself that it is a choice that I can either do or not do. Every day I get up and I'm like, and I can either do it or not do it. It's not like I'm laboring over it, but I am reminding myself that this whole thing is my choice. And it got me thinking that that's a really great way to approach life. To continually remind yourself that everything you're doing, with little exception, is a choice. Why? Because it reminds you of what you want to do in your life and why you're doing it and who you want to be. Because very quickly we can turn from, I think it'd be fun to run a marathon, I'll follow this training plan, that's choices, to I have to follow this training plan. I'm obligated to follow this training plan. I have to give up quality of life to follow this training plan. I have to miss things to follow this training plan. I have to run when I'm not rested and you know increase the chances of injury because of this training plan. It started out as a choice, but we can quickly get subsumed in the obligation of it. And we can do that at just a flip of a switch. Especially in the context of what most people deal with day to day, which is kids, jobs, friends, all good stuff, but it's busy and we don't have time. And that's why anybody listening to this is going to know that what I advocate for, I am the small step advocate. I am the small step advocate. You decide where you want to go and you better take small steps to get there. How small? Small enough that you can continue to do them every day. Every day. That's small enough. If you can't do it every day, too big. If it's easy for you to do it every day, maybe it's too small. Add a little more in. But you've got to establish the thinking. And that's why in the busyness of our lives, of the kids and the jobs and everything else, we have to take little steps because it's too easy to get overwhelmed by the thought of doing major things. I mean, what we'll do sometimes with diets, we'll take on a diet and but it never lasts longer than, you know, 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, maybe. That's a blip. That's a drop in the bucket. What I talk about is long-term change, i.e. the rest of your life, that kind of stuff, building in that. In the context of busy lives, to do a diet, you can probably pull it off. You could just, you know, get a friend and be like, okay, we're going to do this cleanse. And you buy the 18,000 pounds of kale and you juice it into an ounce of liquid and then take 4 hours to clean the juicer. And you can do that for 2 weeks. You know, I mean, people can do that stuff. The question is, does it last? The question is, does it benefit you? Really? I mean, is getting some compliments that you lost 5 pounds going to give you the quality of life that you want? Is it going to translate into a better job for you? The fact of the matter is, I believe this, and you might think I'm crazy, but when you build in small behaviors and you build upon those and you change your life in just in the context of health for the good, long term, I believe that does affect every other part of your life, literally every single part of your life. When this machine that you're in is firing on all cylinders and clean and it's rolling, you're thinking better, you're feeling better, you're in a better mood. Now, the benefit of adding in small steps is that you build confidence because you're actually doing things every day. You're acting every day, and that builds in self-esteem, self-confidence. Those are the kinds of things that lead to better jobs, to better relationships, to all those things. It starts with you. Don't blame your job. Don't blame your spouse. It starts with you. See where it goes. Start there. You have control over it. You already have control. My job isn't to instill control. My job is to help you understand you already got it. You already got it. You have it. And my job is simply to show you the way. That's it. I can't do it for you. But in the back, so back to the whole choice thing, it's not like, you know, we have to take all this time every day to think about choice all day. It's like, who has the time? But if you can take little steps to sort of, you know, I talked about in the last couple podcasts, but the movie screen of health and happiness, kind of making that self-care the backdrop of your life, it's natural. I mean, the reason I call this podcast the Approaching the Natural is because I believe that, you know, the closer we get to what is natural for us, well, I think self-service is 100% natural. It's the question is, how is it self-service? Is it a self-service gone awry, greed and gluttony? Both things that we think are making us feel better, but they're not. And so when we get more into the natural, just little bits of things that are natural, we can still be in the modern world, do all the things, but we kind of have a mindset of, I'm looking down at my body and I'm going, this food that I'm choosing to eat nourishes me, and I'm going to do this most of the time and sometimes have things that aren't quite nourishing, but that make me feel happy in that regard, and I have a balance there, then we thrive. But back to the running thing is that what I decided to do this time is really make it an experiment for me and a choice, not to see what it feels. And I got to tell you, like, I'll be honest, and I am on this, I hope anyway, but there's days where I'm like, oh, I probably should. It's very hard for me to not do the thing that is written on that plan. I'm just telling you, it's very hard for me not to do the thing that is written on that plan. I've been doing it for 3 weeks, and there's been about three times now, I think this is a huge win for me, where I have not followed the plan to a T. It says 12 miles on a Thursday. Well, I don't have 12-mile time on a Thursday because I got to go to work, and I got to take my kids to school. So I don't have it. And I'm not going to be like, hey, can I show up late to work? I have things to do. So I go, yeah, you know what? It's not realistic for me. And it's okay. I'm doing more mileage than I was doing last time. I built in greater steps in that regard. I've added mileage incrementally. I'm feeling really good. I'm running great. No, I'm not sore. So I'm asking myself about all those things because ultimately I have to remind myself it's about my own happiness. If it were encroaching on my family life, I would also adjust for sure. So like on the long runs on Sundays that I do, like I did 15 yesterday, I get up really early. Why? Because I don't want to miss on family time. I don't want to get home and have everybody be awake, already been awake for 5 hours. They're awake for like 30 minutes. I mean, that's what I'm advocating for here. And that's, anyway, so back to independence is that when you remind yourself of the fact, facts are little pesky things, aren't they? But they're there. When you remind yourself of the fact that everything you do in your life, maybe not everything. I mean, I'm sure there's certain situations that are, I don't even want to go there, but whatever. But let's say in general, everything you do in your life is, you might feel that you don't have a choice, but you do have a choice. You do have a choice. And so when you remind yourself that everything is a choice, then you continue to do the things that you're doing for, in a sense, I don't want to go into the right and wrong thing, but let's just say the most self-serving reason. When I remind myself that running tomorrow morning is a choice, one that I am totally liberated and free to not do, then if I choose to do it, it's for good reasons. It's not because I'm having to follow rules that I set for myself. It's not restricting. It's totally liberating. totally liberating. When you give yourself an out, then at least you have a quick conversation with yourself. And by quick, I mean, you know, in the context of the busyness, I don't have time to ponder for 30 minutes. But if I get up and I go, hey, man, you know what? This is me. I call myself man. I'm like, hey, man, you don't have to run today. If you're so tired and fatigued, don't run. It's okay. I almost call this podcast, we all should grow up or something like that. Not that funny. But it's like we have this thing in all of us that's like we don't want to be told what to do or that we have to do something because we're going to. And that's why like as a nutritionist, I'm never like, unless on some certain circumstances, I'll be like, you really shouldn't be eating XYZ because you have. But all in all, I'm more of the add-in kind of person. Just add in. Keep doing the thing, but add in this and this. Because they start feeling better and then they'll not feel as good with the crap and they'll want to remove it themselves. Ideal. But it's like dealing with, I mean, and I'm the same way, but it's like dealing with kids in a way, right? I don't want to tell somebody don't do this because I mean, you can't tell me, you're not the boss of me, that kind of stuff. But that's like a thing that I do in my own mind. I was like, I don't have to run. And when I say I don't have to run, there's no like rebellion or there's no like digging my heels in or there's no like, forget it. I'm not going to, you know, it's like, okay, well, if I don't have to, then why would I? Oh, well, I would because I know that I'll enjoy it when I'm finished and I'll enjoy it during it. And I want to run a marathon because that's fun. And I want to be healthy. That makes me feel good because then when I'm healthy, my marriage is better and my family life is better and my job, my you know ability to do things in my life is better. When you make everything a choice, it liberates you from restriction and from obligation and keeps you reminded constantly of who you want to be. One person I don't want to be is a guy who is trapped by his own trappings. I mean, I bought the training plan. I bought it. Nobody handed it to me. Nobody said, you have to do that. So I don't want to become beholden to something that I chose to do. And that's what I was saying earlier. It's like, yeah, that can quickly take over your life where all of a sudden you're like, you're not in control anymore. You started off in control and now you're not in control. That's a bummer, scientifically speaking. But it all comes down to quality of life and it all comes down to health and happiness. I mean, that's what I'm talking about here. And it all comes down to balance. So that if I'm obligated to follow a training plan or obligated to follow a diet, see, with my private clients, sometimes I'll give them a plan. You know, I'll say like, and not a diet, but like, here's a base, I call it a guideline. So here's a basic guideline. But when they're like, well, I can't really follow, I say, no, this is not for you to follow. I'm like, what? This is a conversation starter. I want to, let's make this maybe a goal. Play with it. See how motivated you are and see what steps you're able to take on. And here's your sort of marathon. That's your goal. Like here's the plan. Like all things being equal, if you could sort of eat this way, this is what I would recommend. I think for your lifestyle, this would kind of work for you. But don't do it. Don't do it right now. Or do it. I mean, I got to help them figure out what steps they're able to take. And like I said, you know, I've had people that come to me with, you know, serious, serious stuff going on, cancer and the like. And they're highly motivated. They're not better than anybody else. They're just in a different place in their lives such that the steps for them are, they're taking on a lot because that's what they're ready for. But I have to help them figure out what their small steps are. Some people's small steps are bigger than others. For me, with the marathon thing, it's like, I just want to, my step is really essentially asking myself before I run, do I want to do this? Not do I feel like doing it? Because most days I will tell you, I'm pretty tired, but I know myself enough to know that if I skip a run, that I know when I really want to do it. I just know. I know. There's certain days where I'm just like, you know what? I'm not freaking running. And I'm okay with that too. You know how I know? When I don't, the later in the day, I'm not like, I wish I had run. I'm like, man, I'm glad I didn't run. I needed a day off. But it takes time to understand that about yourself. It takes time to understand the limitations of yourself. We all have limitations. We cannot do everything. So in other words, I've got a run scheduled on Saturday. Well, I got to get up early Saturday because I got to go down to do my talk. in Berkeley. Well, I'm planning on potentially not running that day. It's okay. I won't say it's totally easy. I'll tell you, I battle that. Why? Because that's my upbringing. I don't even know. And I'm not a psychotherapist, and I'm not even going to psychoanalyze myself because this is not what it's about. This is about who I want to be today. Not, well, I had a teacher in second grade who, is there validity to those things? Sure. Is it good to know where you come from and why you do the things you do? Yes, only because it can create a starting point of change. It can create a place where you can then say, you know what, this is a behavior that was instilled in me for these reasons, but it's also a behavior that I would like to change. And then because I listen to the Approaching the Natural podcast, I know I'm not going to change it all at once, and nor should I. I'm going to do it in a way that's actually going to affect the rest of my life. And 3 months when I'm 40 or whatever age is nothing. Nothing. Okay. Unless you're 4 months old, 3 months isn't anything. Doing something for 3 months doesn't do anything. It's years, and it's building upon building of uphill. I'm building. It's a practice, like I've said. But so back to the whole choice. So you are liberated and reminded of who you want to be and where you're going, so that you can always make. And consider and assess which steps you want to take in that direction. What are you okay doing? Are you okay taking, can you handle 2 minutes on a trampoline every day? 2 minutes, of course. You'd be surprised. Said 2 minutes is a big step for some people. It's hard when you've got a billion things going on, even to just remember 2 steps. I talked about Garcinia Cambogia last time or 2 times ago. The magic thing and, on Dr. Oz and all this kind of stuff. Well, people have to remember to take that stuff. I'm not even saying it works. Who knows? But it takes a lot of thinking to even remember to take a pill, right? The reason why antibiotics work so great is because how long do you have to remember to do them? 5 days, 7 days? People can pull that off. Generally, you can pull that off. But can you pull off something for 3 months? For 4 months, for 5 months, for 6 months, for 2 years? Can you do something for 2 years? Well, the way to do that is to start small, and don't expect magic cures and weight loss from a pill. Build in, the things that are going to give you control over your life, and then weight loss is the side effect that I've talked about. A better relationship is the side effect that we've talked about. When you've built in self-esteem and self-control and confidence into your life because you decided to act today. It's too overwhelming to want to take on all the things that we think we need to take on to change our lives. Nobody can do it. That's why diets fail, because they trick you into thinking you're going to create extreme change in a very short time. You don't. You don't create extreme change. There's an effect. And it could be weight loss in 3 months, but it's not going to sustain, and that therefore it's not true change. It's just a myth. It sucks you in, and it sucked me in before, and that's why I started to hone my approach, because I was like, this is insane. This is insane. I don't want to be sucked up into this stuff anymore. I'm exhausted. My best clients, by the way, are past. I had one who just said, I found you right when I was like, I cannot keep doing this every time. Like the yo-yo dieting and the cleansing and the fasting and the this and the that and the next thing. She was like, she heard me on the Ritual podcast, and she was like, I heard that right when I was like in this place of like, I cannot freaking do this anymore. It's exhausting. The yo-yo dieting thing, the quick fix things, the infomercial things, the things, it's exhausting for most people. If it's fun for you, hey man, right on, because I'm all about if it makes you happy. But remember that, to come back to independence, remember that it's a choice of what you do every day. And remember that there's a bigger picture than that diet or that infomercial thing or that one thing. And that is that if you ask yourself, is this making me happy? Is this making me healthy? Healthy. Not is it going to make me lose 6 pounds in 2 days? It could, some infomercial thing, some diet, I don't know. But is it going to make you healthy? Is it going to make you happy? Those are the natural states of the human species. That's what I argue, and I'll argue it till the cows come home. Health and happiness are natural states of the human species. When we are in balance with our environment, when we are in balance with ourselves, we are healthy and happy by definition. When we are healthy in body, we have no excess weight or not too little weight. We are in balance. We are a body that is in that nice little place where it's living with minimal stress. It doesn't take so much to do the things that it's doing. That's really what the body always comes down to. It's like, if I don't match my nutrition with the stress that I'm putting on my body during this training plan, I'm going to either get injured or get sick, because the chronic stress will weaken me if I do not support myself in all the other aspects of my life, including nutrition and amount of sleep I'm getting and all these, and hydration and all these kinds of things. If I don't have those in place, I can force myself to run 15 miles, but it's going to be at a cost. It's going to be at a cost. And if I think about my life and my health and happiness from that place, from independent thinking, from a place of choice, from a place of my parents don't want me to run marathons, so therefore I'm not going to run marathons. Well, that's not independent thinking. But my parents don't want me to run a marathon, but I actually don't want to run a marathon because I've looked at the options and it's not for me. That's independent thinking. Same result. I'm not running a marathon, but it comes from a place of independent thinking. You will know, by the way, if you're out of balance, if anybody's wondering, well, how do I know if I'm... In the last episode, I talked to Jeff Stanford about meditation, and the interesting approach he has and that I've adopted over the last couple of years is that of really looking, of paying attention, honestly, getting it out there, removing conflict. And when I ask myself if I want to run, I've gotten really good at assessing that in a place. Is it hard for me to not, do I feel like not running? Yes. Do I feel bad about taking breaks? Yeah. But it doesn't affect the way that I make a choice. Even though I feel bad about taking a break from a day, it's not who I want to be. So I go, yeah, okay, I feel bad or whatever, but I look at that, it kind of goes away. And I go, I made a good choice because I've made a choice based on who I want to be, not based on how I was raised, whatever. I hope that's clear. If it's not, you can always, by the way, you can always ask me questions. I set up an email address, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net, podcast@transitioningtohealth.net. You can always shoot me emails or whatever. But it, so it comes down to thinking for yourself. Thinking for yourself. What is that like? Do you think for yourself? Do you make decisions, even if they're like what everybody else is doing, but are you making them from a place of what is best for you? What you truly want to do? Maybe you decide what you truly want to do is different from what you're doing, and maybe you're not ready to make a change. That's okay. That's not only okay, that's fine. That's like what I would advise you to do. You may not be ready to make a change, but the most important thing is that you've looked at something so honestly and you've said, you know what? I don't want to do this. And then what do? You take small steps to change. So for me, I'm assessing, and I take a little, I shave a couple miles off a certain run if it seems like it's too much for me. Those are the steps that I'm okay with. It's a struggle for me. I'll be honest. It's a struggle. You know, I have in the past pushed myself to stick to things at my expense. I've gotten injured. I've, you know, just recently fell on my son's car seat. I don't know if you heard that podcast, and went for a 16-mile run. That was before the last marathon, and totally hurt myself worse. And that was because I had to stick to the plan that I bought and totally could not have done, but did anyway. I mean, it's like, what's the point? The point is, I want to be happy and healthy. Do I want to run a marathon in May? Yeah, I think it'd be fun. Do I need to run it? No. I mean, do I need to win it? No. If winning marathons made me really happy, if that's something that I wanted to do, like I wanted to be a professional marathoner, okay, then maybe that would be something I'd want to do. But I'd have to create a life such that I could train that hard and all those kinds of things, and I would have to definitely give up on the other things that I love doing, like the wellness center and my teaching and all the kinds of things, speaking and all this, and the clients and all those things. I'd have to give that up. So you have to... You don't have to, but you want to assess. You want to assess and just, you know, take steps to make that sort of your baseline. That every now and then you check in with yourself and you go, is this serving me? Am I healthy? Am I as healthy as I want to be? You know what it'll tell you? You know who will tell you if you're not as healthy as you want to be? Your body. Because you can convince yourself that you're healthy and you have all the energy, but your body is, by the way, is going to be down there and be like, hey, hey, listen, no matter what you say, look down. You're totally not healthy. You can convince yourself that you're XYZ, but I will tell you the truth. And if, you know, if you're pushing yourself, your body will go, you're pushing yourself too hard. And if you're like, no, I'm not, I can totally handle this, your body's going to eventually be like, okay, yeah, while you're doing that, I'm going to let the virus that's in my gut take over and just going to just take you down with a huge flu for 4 days. So while you're sitting on the toilet for 4 days, maybe that's a good time for you to reconsider whether you're pushing me too hard or whether you're not feeding me enough good food or hydrating me enough or moving in a way that is you're able to do with minimal stress. Your body doesn't lie. Remember I said facts are pesky? Your body is a fact. Your body is a fact. Your opinion about it, your convincing yourself about it, is neither here nor there. Your body is where it's at. Look down, how you feel, all the things that your skin, all those kinds of things. Your energy level, how clear you think, how well you see, how well you hear, kind of mood you're in, your joints, stiff, not, all those things. Your body's just sitting there going, you know, I'm really trying to negotiate all the, I'm trying to hang in here with what you're putting me through. And I'm doing the best I can, but sometimes I can't do everything I need to do to maintain what you're making me do. So you got to help me do it better. That's health and happiness in a nutshell. And I only, you know, half jest. But the fact of the matter is health and happiness are very simple projects. You either help your body do what it's already trying to do and your mind, or you hinder. And or you do a little of both, but it's the balance of how much you're helping versus how much you're hindering. That's it. That's it. That's health and happiness. The question is, how do you achieve greater health and greater happiness? And that's, of course, I'm, you know, going to sound like a broken record. And that is by small steps. By the way, my first album was on vinyl. For the record. Get it? Still love the vinyl. Anyway, so that's where we're at. Okay, so looking forward, independent thinking. Where do things like tradition, ritual, where do those things come into play? Well, in much the same way as, you know, following a training plan to a T at your expense or your detriment, sometimes tradition and ritual can have the same effect on our lives. We can be beholden to things like tradition and ritual. We can lose ourselves in that restriction. And when we do that, we have suffered the same kinds of consequences. It can be stressful. And chronic stress, guess what? Weakens the immune system and slows down digestion and raises blood pressure and raises cholesterol, et cetera, et cetera. Increases inflammation. So it's always, you know, tradition is a big one for me as a nutritionist and a health coach, because of course, you know, when it comes to food, right, we relate to food. I talked about this like probably in the very first podcast, but we relate to food in very unnatural ways. You know, animals in the wild eat when they need calories and they need nutrition. Really when they need calories, because anything they eat is going to have nutrition in it, because they didn't do what we did to brown rice. They just eat the whole food. But we relate to food because we remember how we felt when we were kids and our mothers served us whatever. And we go, oh man, I want to feel like that again. It's nostalgia. We remember the fun of sitting around a table with our families for Thanksgiving or for Christmas dinner and we had XYZ and we remember that and we want to get that back. Of course, I'm going to go behind the veil and say, what do we really want? And what are we really trying to get when we eat that stuff? We're trying to get the feeling of comfort and happiness, joy, fulfillment. I mean, those are the things we want, and that's why it's never just about food, right? I mean, those are the things that's what we want. That's even why we eat, some of us, I mean, that's why I eat healthy food. It's everybody listening to this podcast and everybody in the world wants the same things. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want to feel good. But are we doing the things that are going to actually yield that for us or not? Are we doing, you know, getting drunk makes you feel good. It's the same act as me having a huge salad tonight. It's the same. It comes from the same place. It's from the same place. I think we should just accept that and be aware of that first and say, hey, we're all about self-care. We're all about taking care of ourselves. The question is what you're doing to do that, is it going to yield you long-term or is it long-term going to affect your life negatively? And I would argue that the things that give us the most short-term joy are oftentimes the things that give us the most long-term damage. A line of cocaine gives you a tremendous amount of short-term joy. Or so I've heard. But clearly, long-term ain't giving it to you. Now, much less of a, you know, heavy-duty example would be a diet. Gives you short-term joy, right? Lose the weight. Go to work. Oh my God, you look great. You look amazing. But you don't stick to it because long-term, you can't continue that. It's actually become stressful for you. Why? Because you haven't done the work. And I say work loosely because small steps is actually very easy. When you actually create real manageable small steps, it's totally fine. It's actually very minimal stress. I've made incredible gains with clients and I go, is this stressful for you? No, I can handle this. And they build in and after 2 months, they're just like, yeah, I got all these things. I got it going on. Then like the improvement is exponential because they have control. They've made actions and then it lasts longer. But the things that give us that quick high from food or from drugs or from even entertainment, I mean, we can get sucked up into this thing and go back to my addiction of addiction episode. I mean, that's what this is, right? It's like that, the high. It's the high. But when it comes to tradition and ritual, sometimes, you know, that's a high also. Like we want that thing, but sometimes that's to our detriment. I mean, there's safety and security in doing what you've always done. I get it. There is a safety and security to doing what you've always done, but all the more reason to take very small steps to change those things about you. If you just stop eating the things that you loved growing up and that give you comfort today as an adult, and you just stop it, that's a bummer for you. That's just like, God, it's so depressing. But if you go, hey, I see the ball. I want to kind of, this is down the line. I'd like to get to the point where I'm not eating this stuff. It doesn't work for me anymore. It doesn't make me feel good. Or you say, look, I still want to eat that stuff on these occasions, but most of the time I want to eat this way so that I'm of a level of health that I feel really good and I can actually afford to kind of do that once in a while and I can still get the best of both worlds. But if you're like comfort fooding up every day, all day, and you're eating foods that just give you that comfort, well, you're not going to get that comfort. I mean, you're not going to get that comfort. She's not going to. It can't deliver you what you need. It cannot deliver you what you need. Just like the diet cannot deliver you what you really need. What you really need is balance in your life to be happy. So you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Like I've said, I'm not putting what makes you happy. I'm not telling you what it is that makes you happy. I'm saying you want to be happy. Yes, you want to be happy. The human species wants to be happy. They all say it. If there's one person you've met that doesn't want to be happy, they're an exception to the rule. It's not of interest to me. Well, it's of interest, but it's not relevant for me to know what it is that makes you happy. But for me to help you to understand and think about what would make you happy, truly, the more honest you can be, that could be painful stuff. What if it's not being in the relationship that you're in? Would I advise you to break up with your partner? Of course not. It's not my bag. Not my bag. But I'd certainly advise everybody to think about their lives in that way and to understand where there's conflict, understand where there's things that are causing them stress, even if it's painful, because guess what? Back to the body already knows. The body already knows what's causing you stress. If you ask the body be like, oh man, that guy's just, yeah, he totally did not hold the door open for you. I noticed it because I was the one walking. What am I, from 1874 here? Anyway, so that's it. Independence Day is every day. Independence Day is you understanding that you are independent, and that I just want to be clear, because I think that people think, in other words, stubbornness is not independence. Stubbornness is not, that's my least favorite trait. Stubbornness is like digging your heels in. That's the least independent person. That's like the kid who goes, I'm not going to do my homework because you said I have to. I'm not going to do it. That's not independent. They're not strong. That's not strong. They're stubborn. Independent kid would go, regardless of whether you want me to do my homework or not, I understand that it's good for me and I'm learning and I want to go to college. So I'm going to do my homework. That's independent thinking. Even though they're doing exactly what their parents want them to do, they're doing it from a place of independence. And they're doing it from a place of strength and a place of confidence and a place of self-esteem and a place of health and happiness. If you have in your life gotten away from that, it is never too late. Ever, 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 ever. You can, right now, today, listening to this podcast is an act. Is an act of control over your life. It's what it is. It's thinking. It's applying thought. If you only have a minute every day to think, then take that minute. Take it. Take it. Don't ask for it. Take it. It's yours already. It's yours already. And when you come from a place of independence and a place of true choice, you will see. I can't show you. But you'll see. Is it a bit of a leap of faith? Yes. Is it a hard sell for me to tell you and my clients that true health takes longer than 3 months? Yes. People want it fast. So do I. But I'm aware of that, and I continue to act in ways that are truly self-serving to me. No matter how drawn I am by a pill of that's going to magically make me lose weight, and it's going, oh, maybe this one's different. Maybe this one is actually going to do that. What if it did? Ever ask yourself that? What if it was a magic pill that made you lose weight? What if somebody develops a magic pill that makes you lose weight? Are you going to be happy? No. Not because of that pill. Because you're equating weight loss with happiness. Weight loss is a side effect of happiness. You've got to get yourself happy first. You got to get yourself healthy first. You can't, there's no magic pill that'll deliver that. There may be a magic pill at some point that gets you healthy, that gets you weight loss. It gives you a six pack. But if you think that that's going to make you happy, you are wrong. Straight up wrong. Ain't going to happen. You got to do the work. You got to do the thinking. Happiness is a state of mind. Health is a state of the body. And that's how it's going to happen. By adding in the things that are going to deliver you the proper physical nutrition and the proper mental nutrition, what I call in the book mental nutrition. Those two things. When you put enough of those things in to get yourself to a good place, you're there. And when you ease yourself into those states, you'll get there and you'll build strength and confidence and self-esteem in the process. There's no like, well, this is going to suck until then. It doesn't suck till then. It's awesome until then. It's taking control. It's not relying on somebody's compliments about your weight to somehow think that that's going to deliver you health or happiness. It's not needing that anymore. That's independence. You're independent of people's opinions about you. You're independent of external standards of beauty. You're independent of it because you know when you get there, you know how you're getting there, and you're going to achieve that. And when you achieve it, it's real and it's forever, and you'll never want, you'll hold on to that thing for, like, you know, you ain't going to let that go ever. It's too good. It feels too good. All right. Independence Day. Take it. Live your life in control in a good way. That's it for me this week. I really thank everybody. Listen, last week's podcast with the on meditation, I shot a little video of it, and it's up on YouTube. So if anybody wants, it's just a little cut. It's like a little snippets, like it's a 5-minute video. If you feel like watching it and seeing kind of the setup of the podcast and that kind of thing, if it's fun for you, then do it. If it's fun for you. And that's it. I hope I see anybody this weekend. And in the meantime, best of health and happiness to everybody. Be well. And I'll be back, as always, in a week. Probably shared a million cigarettes, but still your cradle.